Last Sunday morning, if you weren't with us, Reverend David Gray was with us. If you want to find out how somebody goes from having a problem with drugs and alcohol and in and out of jail to a pastor of 40 years and a regional director for the Rhema Ministerial Association, you can hear his testimony because he gave it last Sunday morning. That'd be a blessing to you. Amen. And also a great part of that blessing was how his parents prayed for him. So if you're praying for somebody that needs help, that'd be a blessing to you. Amen. And then here's something that happened last Sunday morning. It didn't happen out here, but it happened over in Children's Church. 5 kids got filled with the Holy Ghost last Sunday morning with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Amen. Praise God. So that's wonderful. They get them all before they ever get a chance to get out here. So, you know, back in the day before I came here, even when I came here the first several years, I mean, it wasn't unusual to have 3 people, 10 people, 25 people up in the prayer line, you know, getting filled with the Holy Ghost week after week after week. Glory to God. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Yes. Amen. As I came in this morning to the church, somebody greeted me and they said, I have some money. And they said, I see that perch ears up. I said, you bet. They said, I have some money for somebody to go to youth camp. And who would I give that to? So I told them to give it to Pastor John, you know, because he takes care of that. But it reminded me of a story. You may have heard it, but you know, this man out in Texas, he walked into this church, had on his big cowboy hat and his boots. I like boots. Had his big boots on and his cowboy hat, and he, big old guy, you know, kind of a gruff character. And he walked into the secretary's office and he said, hey, I'm here to see the head hog. Is he available? And she said, well, sir, if you're referring to our pastor, we don't call him the head hog. We call him pastor. We call him Brother Johnston. We call him Reverend Johnston. But never do we refer to him as the hog. And she said, I don't think he's available. But anyway, you just need to know that. And he said, well, ma'am, he said, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to offend at all. I'm sorry. He said, the Lord just told me to come by here and give this church $100,000. And she said, I'll go see if I can find Porky for you right away. Amen. Well, the Lord is good. Amen. Let's begin this morning in Matthew 17. Glory to God. Title of my message is No Partial Victories Here. We don't settle for partial victories. We can and should have everything that Jesus has provided for us on the cross. Can you say amen? And in Matthew 17, verse number 14, it says, and when they had come to him, and when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, Jesus has been on the mountain, he comes down, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, so you can see what the problem is, lack of faith. How long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Well, so the disciples of Jesus, everybody say the disciples. The disciples of Jesus, later to be known as the apostles. The apostles prayed for this boy, and he did not get healed. He did not get results. They didn't get results. Well, obviously, that means it wasn't God's will to heal and deliver this boy. No, you know that's wrong. I said, you know that's wrong. Because Jesus came along and set him free. Amen. So prayer was made. In this case, prayer was made by the very disciples of Jesus. But nothing happened. They didn't get any results. Somebody says, you know, we prayed earnestly. So-and-so prayed for us. He has a great healing ministry or whatever. But nothing happened. Or we prayed, you know, and things got a little bit better. But you know, at first, but nothing seems to happen to be happening now. And then what happens to people is for a variety of different reasons, they don't stay in faith and they quit believing. So they don't get any results or they only get a partial victory. But if what we are praying for is the will of God and whatever He promised us in His Word is His will, Whatever he says we can have, we can have. If what we're praying for is the will of God, then we should not settle for anything less than what God has promised us in his word. And we should not ever settle for a partial victory. The apostles prayed for this boy, but that doesn't mean it wasn't God's will to heal him. And that father, in one sense, didn't settle for that. Can you say amen? All right, with that in mind, let's turn over to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8, and here we have an unusual story. Mark 8, verse 22. Then he came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to him, and he begged him to touch him. So he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. You know, sometimes you have to get people away from unbelief. You know, the whole crowd's kind of putting the brakes on, so you got to take them aside to be able to minister to them. Well, Jesus just didn't take him to another room. He took him out of the whole town. And you can read scriptures that make it clear that they did not receive the ministry of Jesus in Bethsaida. Jesus said if the mighty works had been done in this town, had been done back in the day, you know, Sodom and Gomorrah would have repented. And so he took the man completely out of town to get him away from the unbelief of that town. Interesting. Because as you go along here, it's you're going to see that Jesus is really working with this man to help him receive the power. The power of God's ministered to him, but he has to receive that power. So he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw anything. Again, interesting. Spit on his eyes and put his eyes on him. That's interesting, isn't it? You don't see Jesus, you know, he didn't start a ministry of spitting on people. He did that. Why did he do that? Because the Spirit of God led him to do that. The Spirit of God knows somehow or another those types of things will sometimes they trigger somebody's faith. It helps somebody, you know. You understand what I mean by that? I mean, I've been in services with the Holy Ghost, and this was long before the laughing stuff came around. You know, where the Holy Ghost just inspired you to tell somebody, just laugh at your problem. Just laugh at your problem. Brother Hagin told, you know, Brother Norval Hayes way, 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 way back, and this is before Norval became famous around the country. You know, he had these businesses around town and they weren't doing good. And Brother Hagin said, I want you to go to your business right there on the street and point to him and just laugh at him. You know, sometimes by the Spirit of God, you might tell somebody, run! And they just turn around and start running. It just sparks something in them. It just causes them to, just becomes a catalyst for them to release their faith, because when you release faith, you get results. Can you understand that? It's hard to explain, but you know, Jesus did that because the Spirit of God led him to do it. I was, you know, the first time I ever saw Brother Hagin minister was in Atlanta, Georgia. This is before I went to Rhema. And a man came to the front, and he just, you know, for his ear, he couldn't hear. And I mean, the man standing right here, you know, this is, the Bible's the side of his head. And Brother Hagin went, and to me it sounded like a shotgun went off. I mean, it was loud, pow. And then he told the man, he said, the Lord said to tell you to run. And the man took off running down the aisle. And then he ran, you know, and he came back to the front. Well, you know, I went to Rhema that year, just a couple of months later, and I went to camp meeting, you know, before I went to Rhema. And at camp meeting, that man was there, and he got up and testified. He said, people said he slapped me upside the head hard. He said, I didn't feel a thing. He said, all I know is my ear was open and I could hear perfectly. And he said, when he told me to run, he said, you have to understand, I hadn't ran in 20 years. I had all kinds of severe vein problems and leg problems. But I just took off obeying what the prophet said. And it just caused him to release his faith somehow or another. I want you to get that, because Jesus is working with this man. So he took the blind man by the head, led him out of town, spit on the eyes, put his hands on him, and asked him if he saw anything. And he looked up and he said, I see men like trees walking. You know, So he must have been able to see at one time, then lost his sight. And now he says, I see, but I don't see clearly. You know, these people, men look like trees walking. And then Jesus put his hands on his eyes again and made him look up. It's very interesting that expression, made him look up, is very strong in the Greek. It's like he commanded him, look up and see clearly. Reminds me of in the book of Acts, you know, when Paul was preaching and he perceived that a man was there that had been crippled from his mother's womb, never had walked. And Paul, by the Spirit, perceived the man had faith to be healed. And then all of a sudden, the Bible says, Paul said with a loud voice, stand up right on your feet. Again, something about that loud voice and stand up, act on it. You got faith, now act on it. Spark something in that man to get him to stand up. That's what Jesus is doing here. He's working with this man, trying to help him. Glory to God. But the man, here's what I want you to see. The man, after Jesus prayed for him, could see, but not perfectly. So you could say he received a partial healing. It's better than being blind, but it's not God's best. And it's not what God wanted for him. Now you have to understand, Jesus ministered to him the power of God. The power of God was capable of causing him to see perfectly a million times over. And Jesus administered that power perfectly. Amen. So the power of God was ministered to him. It was ministered perfectly. But that which is ministered perfectly can be received partially. Are you listening to me? Amen. In other words, you have to receive it by faith. Glory to God. So Jesus laid hands on him again, not because he didn't believe, but in order to help this man, he's working with him, as I said, to fully receive his healing and not settle for just a partial healing. Glory to God. Not all prayers result in instant manifestations. I like instant manifestations, don't you? I've experienced many of them. I've seen many of them. But not all prayers are answered instantly. That's obvious from the scriptures and from everyday life. Glory to God. That's why the Word of God tells us, you know, to operate in faith and patience. Patience means you don't quit believing, you know, because there's a delay. You don't quit believing because there's, obstacles. You don't quit believing because you don't see any results in the natural. We walk by faith, not by sight. He wouldn't tell us to hold fast our confession of faith and say to us, through faith and patience we inherit the promises. If everything happened instantly, there would be no need to operate in endurance or perseverance, which is what patience is in those scriptures. No, because everything's not instant, you know, we have to make sure that we keep believing. The money we need may come to us in increments, but as long as it comes, woo, glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, we've had needs here at the church, big needs. And, you know, not one person walked up in, you know, I'm using examples, but for instance, we might have an $85,000 need to do something here at the church. You know, when we put this carpet down and redid all this and everything, it was $60,000. Well, not one single person gave us $60,000, but the money came in increments. And it all came in. It all came in. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. When the first $600 came in, I didn't think, well, that's good, praise God, but you know, we got to have $85,000. That ain't going to help us very much. And no, I was like, praise God, it's coming, it's coming, it's all coming. You know, before we moved into this building, we were on South Lee Highway, and that was an old furniture store, and it's just four square walls. And so we had to, you know, we had to build every single room in there. You know, auditorium, nurseries, bathrooms, everything. You know, and we spent about $50,000 on that building. Of course, I'm going back now to the 80s, and that was, you know, that'd be like a lot more money today. And that was an awful lot of money to spend on a rented building, but we only paid $800 a month rent on that building. You know, you could, in those days even, you could rent just an office downtown with just a couple of rooms. It'd cost you $1,500 a month. And so we were taking in money for that. And I remember this one guy kept trying to put pressure on me because we worked something like 14 weekends in a row working on that building. I mean, we got construction people there, people that know what they're doing, volunteer workers, everything. And, you know, you got to buy the sheetrock. You got to buy the paint. You got to buy the electrical equipment. You got to four square walls. You got to build everything. And so we're taking in money, but we're spending a lot of money. And so we got up to about where we had spent like $34,000, and we're down to like we don't have but $200 or $300 in the account. And to get this thing looking right, it's going to take the full 50, you know. And so I remember talking to one guy, and he kind of knew the situation. He was like, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? I thought, who are you, the devil or what? You know. And so I was going home. Now, our mail comes by 9:30 at the post office, and we check it. And we had already checked it that day. And I just, bless God, felt impressed to go by the post office. I went by the post office that afternoon, and very uncharacteristically, there was one piece of mail in there. And in that letter was a check for $10,000 for the building funds. Or you can quit believing and say, well, I don't know why it's not working. I mean, you know, we can meet in the building. We got sheetrock on the walls. It's not painting, and there's electrical wires hanging loose. We can meet here and try to make it happen in the natural, try to make it happen in the flesh, and beg, borrow, and steal, so to speak. But no, go ahead and get the full victory. Don't quit believing. I said, don't quit believing. Amen. Sometimes when it comes to healing, people get better and better and better over a period of time until they are perfectly well. I've experienced that. You know, Mark 16:18 says, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Recover. Recovery could be instantaneous. Thank God for that. Or it could be over a period of time. And this whole phrase here, they shall be healed, not just the word heal, the expression they shall, all of it uses a tense in the Greek that suggests something that is progressive. Rick Renner, you know, Greek scholar, paraphrases and translates this way. They shall progressively feel themselves getting better and better until finally they are well and healthy. And so sometimes that's the way it works, and there's different reasons for that. For instance, God told the Israelites in Deuteronomy 7:22, you know, talking about the promised land, you know, he gave them the promised land, and this is the bunch that went in to take the land under Joshua. He said, I will drive out the nations before you. Now watch this, little by little. It's interesting, isn't it? You will be unable to destroy them at once or all at once, lest the beasts of the field become too numerous for you. In other words, God said, if you just wipe them out, you won't be able to handle it. You won't be able to take over the cities. You won't be able to handle the fields. And, you know, you won't be able to handle it. So this was wisdom. But the Lord your God, it says, will deliver them over to you, and you will inflict defeat upon them until they are defeated. Praise God. And then in Exodus, he put it this way. Exodus 23:29-30, he says, I will not drive them out from before you in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field become too numerous for you. Little by little, I will drive them out before you until you have increased and you will inherit the land. So they stepped out in faith and they inherited the promised land over time. A lot of people don't realize that. Over time. There was great wisdom in not taking possession of it all at once. And you know, they had some great victories, like at Jericho. Great, great, wonderful victories. But if after a few months, after 8 months, 9 months, 10 months, a year and a half, they just started to think, well, you know, we never have taken all the land. I mean, we got a good portion of it, and our people have moved into these cities, or things are going good, but we still got a lot to do, and it just doesn't, I don't know, that one group we keep trying to dispossess, they just seem stubborn and dug in. And if they'd have started thinking like that and quit believing and quit trying, they would have never fully taken the land. And in fact, you can go back and read your Old Testament and you'll find out they never did fully occupy all the land that was given to them. Never did. God told them if they didn't dispossess those people, they would be thorns in their sides. And they were, in fact, thorns in their side. Because, so in one sense, they had a great victory, maybe an 85% victory, maybe a 90% victory, maybe a 95% victory. But they settled for a partial victory instead of full victory. They could have driven all of those inhabitants out and taken the land. Are you listening to me? It all belonged to them. But they quit believing they could take it all. Now listen very carefully. Sometimes in life, things require time. Sometimes. Sometimes God has a purpose in giving us our promised land. Promised land is a type of everything that belongs to us in Christ Jesus. Sometimes God has a purpose in us possessing our promised land bit by bit, little by little, step at a time. And then number two, sometimes things are working mightily, mightily behind the scenes. You just can't see it yet. So don't give up and quit just because you can't see it. We're faith people. We walk by faith. Sometimes things are working mightily. The tumor is dead. You just don't know it yet. I mean, it's like you cut a tree down. That tree looks alive, but it is dead, 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 dead. And that tumor is dead, and then your body will begin to realize it, and the doctors will begin to realize it. Amen. The money is coming. I know I was telling somebody the other day, it's when we first worked here, of course, you know, in those days, I knew what it was like to believe God for every crumb. Praise God. And we lived from miracle to miracle. And so, you know, one day we had discussed and we said, send this money to so-and-so missionary or whatever it was. And, You know, and the person that did all that was did a great job, a fantastic job. But, you know, they had never experienced. I know what it's like. You know, sometimes the Lord answered your prayer and somebody's got the check sitting on their desk. They just hadn't mailed it yet. And so it gets to you and you're going, and they tell you, you know, one guy told me, he said, I've been carrying this around in my pocket for 2 weeks. And I went, praise God, hallelujah. We was eating beans last week, you know. Oatmeal for supper. Anyway, long story short, for some reason or another, I sat around on his desk for 89 days and I saw it one day and I had to control myself and say, you know, we need to mail this check today. They're over there praising God and standing in faith for this money perhaps, you know. And so things are happening sometimes you don't see. You remember in the Old Testament when he prayed, he said for 21 days, from the day you prayed, I answered your prayer. The angel was coming, you know. God sent me, but I was fighting a war in the heavenlies against the enemy, the devil, to get to you. The answer is coming. Prayer is changing things. But in the natural, you can't see a thing. And then number three, we do need to understand this. We receive according to our faith. That is a spiritual law. Be it unto you according to your faith. You receive according to your faith. Always. So I always tell people, if you can't believe God for $2 million, if I can't believe God for $2 million, I'll settle for one. Just use the faith you've got. Amen. You receive according to your faith. It's not what God can do, ever. It's what can we believe for. Are you following me? It's not what God can do, it's what can we believe for. And sometimes we receive a little of the time because that's where our faith is at. But that's all right. Just keep receiving until you get it all. Can you say amen? Glory to God. Just endure. Stick with it. Persevere. Keep on believing. The man saw men walking as trees. That's better than before, but he's seeing imperfectly. The power of God didn't go into his body just to give him a partial sight, a partial victory. The power is perfect, but the man, just like all of us, had to receive it. He had to receive it. He began to receive, and Jesus helped him to continue to keep believing so he could have his sight fully recovered. If you don't believe your faith has anything to do with it, think about Peter. We're going to look at that in a minute. But you know, Peter walked on the water. Well, if it didn't have anything to do with Peter's faith, if it was just totally God's faith and Jesus' faith, then Peter never would have failed. He's experiencing a miracle, a supernatural miracle in the truest sense of the word. I mean, who do you know that's walked on water? Jesus? Peter? But when Peter quit believing, he fell. So his faith definitely had something to do with it, even though it was a great and mighty miracle. Can you say amen? Amen. I heard about a lady who attended healing school, you know, on the campus of Rhema, you know, Brother Hagin, all those many years ago, and going back 1978 or 9, I think it was, started healing school where people come in from all over the country and all over the world. You know, there may be 40 there, there may be 240 there. And they preach and teach on healing, and they lay hands on the sick, and they do that Monday through Friday. Brother Hagin did it for the first year or so, and then he turned it over to Keith Moore. And while Keith Moore was doing it, he tells a story. He said there was a lady who attended healing school, and she had, you know, crippling arthritis, you know, rheumatoid arthritis. I mean, her hands are all gnarled up, and she has arthritis so bad that she was carried into the meetings. She could not walk into the meetings. She was carried into the meetings day after day after week, and she's coming. She came like for, you know, months. Well, obviously, Keith is aware of her, you know, and he wants to help her. And so in praying about it and so forth, the Lord prompted him to go and talk with a lady, and he gave, you know, told him something to tell her, you know, showed him something that would help her get her healing. And so he got her aside privately and began to talk to her. And he told her, he said, don't wait. Listen to this now. He said, don't wait for an instant manifestation. Yes, to be 100% restored instantly. You've seen that since you've been here, probably, would be wonderful. But don't wait for that. Your faith must cooperate with the power of God. It's always according to your faith. So he told her, he said, use your faith to take something every day. I don't care how small it is, how seemingly insignificant it is. Use your faith every day to do something you couldn't do before. Take back by faith what the devil has stolen from you. Well, he could tell her eyes lit up and she got a hold of it. And he could tell she was all stirred up about it. So 2 days later, you know, she said, "I want you to know, Brother Keith," she said, I made up my bed this morning." She said, "Now, it don't look too pretty, but I made it up," because her hands are all twisted and snarled up and so forth. And then she came back, you know, 2 or 3 days later and said, "I got out of bed by myself this morning." Well, you don't think anything about it, but if you hadn't been able to get out of bed on your own, a few more days went by and she said, "I got out of bed, made up my bed, and I walked to the bathroom. First time in years." And then she said, "You know, I walked to the living room." And then a couple of months went by and she walked into that healing meeting on her own. They didn't carry her in. A couple of more months went by and she just walked all around the building. Praise God. She took it back. Piece by piece, bit by bit. It's one little step of faith at a time. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. Amen. So in any area of life, you can take things back by faith, a piece at a time, if necessary. One bite at a time, one victory at a time. Well, how much do I take back? Well, what can you believe for? What can you believe for? Concerning your finances? "Bless God, I'm believing God for a $1 million home. "Oh yeah, what do you live in now? "A trailer and we're 4 months behind on the payment?" Well, it's not going to work for you. Say, how do you know? Because it doesn't work for stupid people. Yeah. Believe God that you can get caught up on your payments and that you can pay your payments on time. Amen. Glory to God. Get caught up. Take one bill. You know, all these days, just take it. Matter of fact, this is good financial wisdom if you listen to like a Dave Ramsey and so forth. Just take one of your bills and concentrate all your effort on paying that one off. Got 5 credit cards. Take the one with the lowest amount and put every effort into paying off that one and pay it off. Use your faith. Then take every effort to pay off the second one. People have done that and gone from greatly in debt to completely 100% out of debt. It's a good financial principle just in the natural, but once you put your faith to it, then all of a sudden you'll see the miraculous happen. Glory to God. Well, she took it back one step. You know, oftentimes that's the way we lose it, one step at a time. In our mind, our emotions with depression or anything else, your health even, you lose it one step at a time. Take it back one step at a time if you need to. Can you say amen? Just keep believing. Keep your faith stirred up until you receive all. You know, I've been losing some weight. I've lost, probably can't tell it too much, but I can tell I've lost about 12 pounds. Margaret's lost 20 pounds. You can really tell it with her. But you know, I just didn't wake up and I was 12 pounds lighter. She didn't wake up. She'd been doing this for what, 3 months? Since January. I love these people I see on social media all the time about how they lost 13 pounds last week. They said, "Look, fat as a hog to me in the first place." And they're always losing weight, losing weight, losing weight, losing weight, losing weight, losing weight. 5 years later, they're still losing weight. And you don't lose weight that way. You lose it 1 ounce at a time. Amen. But after a period of time, it begins to, you know, it's because I want to lose weight. I get on the scales every morning and I go, I'm 3 ounces less than yesterday. Well, the next day, 2 ounces less. The next day, 6 ounces less. Then all of a sudden, you look up and you go 5 pounds. Now, if you're a little chunky like I was, 5 pounds, look up 5 pounds of fat on the internet and see what it looks like. It'll shock you. Amen. Now, I probably don't do it the right way. I just do what works for me. I eat lunch. I don't eat breakfast. I eat lunch, and then I don't eat supper. I don't eat dinner. I know that's probably not the best way to do it. That's just what works for me. And if we got guests in like we had David Gray last week, yes, I eat with him supper every night because we're taking them out to eat and so forth. Now, Margaret, she's much smarter than that. She's, you know, counts calories, and she prepares very healthy meals, and she controls her appetite, eating that healthy meal one meal at a time. And she's lost 20 pounds. Amen. Well, that's just a natural thing, but what I'm trying to get across to you is you can do that. You can do the same thing spiritually. You can do the same. You can take it back. You can take it back. You can overcome that depression. You can overcome that fear. You can overcome that lust. You can overcome financial problems. You can overcome that sickness or disease. One step at a time. Use your faith. Don't give up. All right, now let's look at Matthew 14. Matthew 14. Verse 22. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain to him by himself to pray. Now when evening had come, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to him walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It's a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." And Jesus answered him and said, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." He had the word of God. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "O ye of little faith, why did you doubt?" Amen. And when they had got into the boat, the wind ceased. Well, there's many things here, but relative to what we're talking about and discussing this morning, Peter went halfway to Jesus, and then he sank. That was not God's plan. It was not God's plan that Peter start to walk on the water and then sink. No, God's plan was that he get out of the boat, walk to Jesus all the way, and then for him and Jesus to walk back to the boat together. And you know, we'd still have this great lesson of faith here. If that would have happened, this might read, "And Peter got out of the boat, stepped out in faith, walked to Jesus. As he was walking to Jesus, he saw the wind boisterous, you know, and he saw the waves, but he refused to believe." I mean, like Abraham, you know, he refused to think contrary to the Word of God, and he just kept his focus on Jesus. You know, we'd have still got the story. But he just walked to Jesus. God enabled Peter. He empowered people. He gave him the ability to walk on water, but Peter had to believe in and cooperate with that power. Can you see that? And Jesus wanted him to walk all the way to him. Walking halfway, I mean, Peter can, throughout all of heaven, Peter can say, "I walked on water. How about you? What'd you do?" But walking on water and then sinking was only a partial victory. I saw this on a Facebook post yesterday from Pastor Rhonda Davis, you know, just a little Facebook post. And she said, "God doesn't leave anything half done. He doesn't alpha what he can't omega." Now, just in case you don't know what that is, you know, alpha is the first letter of the Greek alphabet and omega is the last letter of the Greek alphabet. So God is the beginning, he's the end, he's the first, he's the last, and everything in between. He's perfection, he's complete. Amen. So he does an alpha what he can't omega. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So Peter began to receive, but then he quit believing. And when he quit believing, that's what people do sometimes. They start out in faith. They make some progress. Things begin to happen. But for whatever reason, you know, even though their body is recovering, their situation begins to improve. They get better. You know, I like to say it this way. It's like you have a $2,300 need. Now, some people, you know, I was with somebody the other day, and they said, "You know, my son asked me for $12,000. And they said, you know, he confided in me. You know, he said, "That's nothing to me." He said, that is nothing to me. He said, "That's like a nickel to me in my financial situation." But you know, for other people, $2,300, they don't have it. They don't have any way of getting it. They don't know where they're going to get it, you know. But it's like somebody having a $2,300 need and they believe God and ask God to meet that need. And $600 comes in and they go, "Glory to God, hallelujah." But you know, then they go for about a week and nothing happens and it's getting closer and closer. You know, they're going to come take this car away if I don't get this $2,300 need met. And they haven't done it yet. And instead of continuing to believe, you know, they start listening to the lies of the devil. The devil says, "Why don't you have it yet? Why don't you have it yet? Why don't you have it yet? It's getting closer to the time. They're going to take your car away from you. They're going to take your car away from you. You're not going to get the rest of that money. $600 is good, but it's nothing. You got to have all $2,300. That's it. Something must be wrong." And they begin to look at that and think about that, and they start wavering, and they start doubting, and they start trying to figure out how to, you know, sell a kidney or something to get more money in the natural, and they stop believing, and they sink. Yet a fourth of the money did come in. Why? Listen, why did they only have a partial victory? Listen to this. Get this. This is important. But it applies to any promise that we can possess by faith. Why did they settle for a partial victory? They did exactly what Peter did. Peter's faith is working. He's walking on the water. But he started looking at the wrong things. He took his eyes off Jesus. He took his focus off Jesus. He started looking at the particular circumstances. I mean, everybody knows you can't walk on water when the waves are big and it's windy. He started looking at the wrong thing and he said, I can't do this. This is impossible. And he doubted and he quit believing. And when he did, he started to sink. See, right in the middle of taking some promise bit by bit sometimes, right in the middle of great things happening in the Spirit that you can't see, right in the middle of improving conditions, people begin to look at wrong things. And they wrongly believe, listen, if you're going to develop your faith life, this is something you got to get a hold of. Delay is not denial. I said delay is not denial. Ever. So don't think it is. And don't look around like Peter did. And don't begin to reason and question and waver. Because if you do that, just like Peter, you will quit believing. And when you quit believing, you're going to settle for partial victory or no victory. Amen? I said amen. You listen to me? Let me give you an example of this. Or not me. I'm going to ask Brother Tony Jenkins to come up here and give an example of what we're talking about. You know, it's got a lot of different truth to it. But this will... Come on up here, Tony.
Get to go topside today. Some of you have heard this testimony I want to share, and some of you haven't, I know. But in late 1998, the church had planned to go on a mission trip here to Ukraine. And after praying about it, I knew that I was supposed to go. And I said, okay, Lord, you know, this is all going to be on you because I don't have the money. I can't afford to go, and I'm going to have to believe you for the money to be able to do this. And I'm self-employed, so like some of you, you know, if I'm not there to work, I don't get paid. And I said, I need to, you know, money to be able to take care of my wife and three kids that were at home while I'm gone. Well, and it was a progressive thing. You know, I set my faith out and I started believing. And the first thing that we had to get our money for was our plane ticket because they had to be purchased months ahead. Well, money come in. When it come time for the plane ticket money, I had my money for the plane ticket. And then we had the rest of our expenses, you know, our motel stay, our travel, our food and stuff while we were there. And it was a great chunk. It was about the same amount as a plane ticket. So I'm believing God for the money, and you know, it's coming in. And the trip is in schedule for March of 1999. Well, it come right down to time to get ready. We're leaving on Monday at 8 o'clock in the morning, going to the Atlanta airport. And Friday evening, I get a call from somebody here at the church. I don't remember who it was. I don't remember if it was Pastor John or might have been Pastor Mark. Somebody said, hey, you had some money come in on your trip. I'm like, bless God, you know. So I came down here to the church. I didn't have a cell phone then, you know. I came down here and looked. You know, and I had all of my trip money come in. You know, I think I had like $20 extra, you know. And I'm like, I'm happy, but then all of a sudden it hit me, and I'm like, I have no money to leave my wife and my kids while I'm gone on this trip for 2 weeks. No gas money, no food, no nothing. And, you know, fear just started hitting me. It was like, well, what are you going to do? You know, what are you going to do about this? And I'm like, well, you know, I don't know. And I said, I remember saying, I said, Lord, I told you that I needed all of the money to come in on this trip for everything. And, you know, putting it on a credit card wasn't an option because I'd cut them all up the year before and I didn't have one. Didn't feel right about borrowing it, you know, and just thoughts were coming to my mind. And I guess as I was saying, Lord, I just thought you were going to provide the whole amount, you know. A thought, the Lord brought back to remembrance in my mind, a thought of a man, a businessman here in Cleveland, that telling me, he said, come and see me before you go on this mission trip. And that's the only thought I had in my mind. I'm like, that man said to come and see him. Well, this is Friday evening, and it's about 5:30, so I call him on the phone. I'm like, hey, you know, this is Tony. I told you I was going on this mission trip, and, you know, you told me to come and see you before I left to go on this trip. And we're leaving Monday morning. And I said, I was wondering when would be a good time to come and see you. He said, well, what are you doing right now? I said, nothing. He said, well, what about now? And I said, I'll be there in a few minutes. And he had a business over off of Spring Place Road. So I get in, I travel over. I go in, and the secretary's at the desk. And I said, yeah, I'm here to see, you know, Mr. So-and-so. And she said, okay, I'll let him know you're here. He's with somebody right now. So, you know, time's going on. Time's ticking. It's after 6 o'clock now. You know, banks are closed. In my mind, I'm thinking, banks are closed. There's no way I can get any kind of money. You know, any somebody gives me a check or something, I can't get it cashed. But anyway, I sit there and I waited for a few minutes, and then the gentleman come out. He shook my hand. He said, hey, how you doing? You know, I said, well, good. You going on a mission trip? I said, yeah, I'm excited about it, you know. And so he said, well, come out back here. I want to show you something for a minute. We had a garage out there, and he was into classic cars. And I thought he was going to show me a car or something. And so we go out there, and we walk in his garage, and to my surprise, there's no cars there. And then this guy, I talked to Pastor John about this before, he reached in his pocket and he pulled this, what do you call it, a choke a camel wad? Is that what you call it? Of money out about this big around. And he peels off five $100 bills. And he hands it to me. He says, here, he said, the Holy Ghost told me to give this to you. And I'm like, well, praise God, you know. I mean, that's my money. That's the money that I needed to leave there for my wife and kids while I was gone, you know, for a couple weeks. I mean, they eat great while I was gone, you know. I mean, I'm over there eating this cabbage soup over there in Ukraine, you know, and they're having steak and everything. But, and I say that jokingly, but, you know, I didn't give up. I believed God, and it's something, you know, one of the Lord's names is El Shaddai. And if you know what that means the God who is more than enough. And he is more than enough to meet every need. He's not the God of half of the amount. You know, I tell this to people, there's no need that can arise in a Christian's life that God has not already made the provision for somewhere. He's just waiting for you to reach out by faith and take it and not waver like we were talking about. But one thing, I was inspired by what you said this morning, Christina, when you were talking about abundance and stuff. And I was thinking about Ephesians 3:20, and it says, and to him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can ask or even think, according to the power that works in us. That's the power that we have working in us. And I hope that helps some of you here. I just, you know, true story happened to me. Got many, many more to go along after that, but that's one I wanted to share. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Tony. Amen. Well, if Svetlana from Ukraine is probably watching, she lives in Indiana, but from Ukraine, and if you eat her borscht, it's really, really good. Everything she, beef stroganoff, that's Ukrainian, everything she cooks is out of this world, but when you go to the to the prison, and they served you, boy. She wasn't so great, but you know, Tony, because we've already gone way too. I'm not halfway, but we have to close this down. You know, Tony could have just settled. He could have just settled and said, "Well, praise God, I'm glad this money came in." But you know, I don't know. I don't know why it didn't come in, and I don't know what we're going to do, Renita. They had to struggle through somehow. Maybe he'd have said, "You know, I got this piece of equipment. I want it. I need it." But so and so acted like he'd like to buy it. I'm going to take it over there and sell it. He could have worked it out on the natural and done something. They could have scraped by, but he didn't settle for a partial victory. And he didn't put any pressure on that man. Did you notice that? Not at all. He just did what the Holy Spirit led him to do. You can never separate it. We miss it here. You can never separate faith from the leading of the Spirit. We don't talk about that enough. But just to close this down, let me just, in 30 seconds here, so much more. When I mentioned Sister Rhonda Davis, she said what God starts, He finishes. But she emphasized, just in her little post, she said, "What God starts in you, He will complete in you." What God has started in you, He will complete it. If you'll just keep the door open to Him, let's stand up together. Glory to God. If you'll just keep the door open to Him, amen, don't give up on yourself. Don't be so hard on yourself, amen. Give God a chance to work in your life. Don't quit, don't quit, don't quit, don't quit, don't quit. Walk in the light. Repent if you need to. His mercies are new every morning. Every morning. Repent 100 times over if you need to. Just let God will work with you, and God will show you things, and God will help you, and He'll bring you along sometimes step by step, and He will turn you into a beautiful New Testament Christian. He will complete what He started in you. He'll turn you into a complete, mature believer. Just look to Him and walk with Him day in and day out, and what He has, the good work that He has begun in you, He will complete. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Lift your hands and praise God a second. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We praise and worship you and magnify your name. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. 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 Glory to God in the name of Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. 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 Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that all that He did for us on the cross. We thank you that victory is ours. Glory to God. We will not settle for anything less. And we'll walk on the water, and we'll keep our eyes and our attention focused on you, and we won't waver. We won't doubt. Because if we believe, things are happening even if we can't see it. Delay doesn't mean denial. Glory to God. Amen. You know, Abraham, it says he believed even though he had contradictory circumstances. See, that's another reason. Don't quit believing just because you have circumstances that contradict the Word of God. That's what faith and patience is all about. You continue to believe even though it doesn't look like it's true. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God is on our side, and He will see us safely across to victory to the other side. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Blessed be the name of the Lord. Something here, something here. Hang on a second now. Glory to God. Blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the Lord. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Praise God. Hallelujah. I was reading in one of my devotionals last week, and I read it to Mark because it was so good. But this judge, he was talking to his pastor. He was just before his homecoming, he was fixing to go home and be with the Lord, and he was getting his things settled. And he asked his pastor, he said, "Do you understand a tenancy, a tenant, you know, co-ownership?" And the pastor said, "Well, no, not really." He told him, he said, "You know, I have if I have this property," and he said, "and we're co-owners of it." He said, "It's not like this field is mine and that field is yours, and this is mine and that's yours." He said, "But the farm as a whole belongs to both of us, and there's not anything that is a part of it that's mine that's not yours." And then he made this statement, and he said, "Jesus doesn't own anything apart from me. Glory to God. So all that God has is also all of yours. Amen. Because he gave us all things in Christ Jesus. So Jesus doesn't have anything apart from you. So total healing, total provision, total restoration, all that Jesus did and all that is in Jesus and all that he has, he doesn't want or have it apart from you. It's all yours too.
Amen. Amen. We're heirs together, the Bible says. You know, he's the head of the body. We're the body. He's the head. You know, the head doesn't, your head ever do anything apart from your body? No, wherever your head goes, that's where you go, and vice versa. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I don't know. More than anything, I just get, you know, be doers of the word, you know. Every part of the word you're acting on is working for you. Every part of the word I'm acting on is working for me. If I'm not working it, it's not working for me. But everything that I step out in faith and act on, in faith and obedience, produces good results in my life. Praise God, praise God, praise for God. I don't know about you, but I've settled for partial victories at times. And what I had was good, but I realized, you know, that I let up and didn't get the full victory. Glory to God. But be it unto you according to your faith. It's like that woman, true story, she came down to be prayed for. She couldn't hear. She wanted to hear. She desperately wanted to hear the preacher preach and so forth. That was her motive for hearing, not to watch Days of Our Lives with it, so she could hear the word being preached. And she couldn't hear. So she came down to the front, and the pastor and the guest evangelist prayed for her. True story. And she was instantly healed by the power of God. They tested her out. And she went back limping to her seat. And the evangelist said, "Sister, don't you want that taken care of too?" She goes, "Oh, I can live with this, but I needed my healing. I needed my hearing." Well, be it unto you according to your faith. Amen. Glory to God. And I don't care what it looks like. I don't care how long you... Somebody says, "How long do you stand?" Well, you take the attitude, "I'll stand till Jesus comes back. I'll stand throughout all eternity." But if you take that stand, you probably won't have to stand too long. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing on the promises that will not fail. I'm standing on the promises of God. If you're saved and you know it, lift both hands to heaven. Praise God. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Said hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Say, "I will.
Hallelujah.
I will.
Hallelujah.
Walk on the water.
Walk on the water.
I will.
Hallelujah.
Believe God's word.
Believe God.
I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm only moved by what I believe. And I believe God. I believe God's word. And the victory is mine every time. In Jesus' name." Amen, 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 amen. So good to see you this morning. We love you. We appreciate you. Glory to God. God bless you. God bless you. You're dismissed. Thank you, Lord Jesus.